Welcome to the Unite Church podcast. For more information about Unite Church, visit unitechurchak.org. Now enjoy this message from Josh Tanner.
We felt that the Lord laid it on our heart to, as we were praying about where are we headed this year, and really where we're headed is discipleship. We're headed towards God multiplying believers and laying the foundation in believers and activating believers. That's where we're headed as a church. And this is the year we're really putting our stake in the ground. We're putting our hands to the plow to make that happen. And one of the big reasons is because the Lord brought Kelly and Nikki Chewbacca to our team, and they're multiplying machines and discipleship machines. And so this is what's been on their heart forever. And when, you know, leaders start to synergize or work together, acceleration starts to happen. You felt it when Zach and Jen came onto the team. You felt it when Kristen and came on the team. You'll feel Rick Rogers is our new executive pastor over operations and facilities. And you're going to feel that. He's more a behind the scenes guy, but you'll see, oh, wow, things are starting to get more organized. Wow, the communication is starting to get stronger. It's all built on leaders, right? And multiplication to discipleship, it requires leadership. And Kelly and Nikki are fantastic leaders working with Kristen and the rest of the care pastors and the care team to just supercharge this thing. And so I think we have 50 new groups on deck to launch. 50! That's crazy. Okay, that first he was like, we're going to do 160-something. And that was the team that decided that, not Kelly. And she's like, all right, let's go. And now we already have 50 on deck, and we're not even done with Q1. Like, I'm pretty sure we're going to get there. All right? So to get there and to be a healthy church, y'all, there the foundational pieces to being a healthy church is faith. So if you were here during our series over Christmas about faith, you heard us talking about faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. And that's real substance. It actually exists even if you can't see it. And we use the example around quantum physics that there are things like the Higgs boson that scientists have discovered, that these places where matter and energy meet create and it's a substance, the platform for more matter, but they could never see it. And they've actually seen little flashes of this Higgs boson, which is kind of amazing. And it's when the energy is connecting with matter, which is amazing. And so God is moving things, but it's moved, which starts from our faith. And then it's actually the first step of that faith, because faith without works is dead. So it's actually ceases to exist. Faith ceases to exist at all without the movement, the actual impartation, or the actual engagement, or the starting of some sort of action that comes out of this faith place, this belief place. And that is our confession. And we saw Zechariah and Mary's confession and how God, like, how he responded to those two things. But until they started to actually step and move and confess, the blessing, the fulfillment didn't come. Mary confessed right away. Whatever you said, God, do it just the way you said it. My brain can't figure out how you're going to do that stuff, but my faith and my confession are together. And the confession is actually the first step in prayer. All right? So if you think about your confession, it is a prayer. It's saying, God, I declare with my mouth, I call it into existence. I'm speaking into existence the very thing you said you would do, and I'm activating that thing. And so prayer is the first step of activation in our faith, guys. It's one of the most powerful steps in our faith, and it can't just stop there. I know I'm not going to blow anybody up. We're gonna talk about prayer for a while. No one is called to be a prayer warrior only. No one is called to be a prayer warrior only. Everyone is called to be a prayer warrior. Every single believer is called to faith and activation of that faith in prayer, and then move towards even greater actions, or maybe more actions, or more actions of completion of that declaration, that faith, in everything we're doing. Okay? So I just want us to get that no one gets out of these fundamental assignments that we're talking about right now. Everyone's called to go and make disciples. And in doing that, everyone's called to a relationship with God, and everyone's called to the expression of that relationship in good works, in prayer and good works and deeds. It's just fundamental into everything about who we are. And so there's a few things about prayer that I want us to get, and then we're going to talk about what we're actually building. So the Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 23, "In that day you will no longer ask me anything." And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. Like, you're not going to actually talk to me directly because I'm going to be gone. "Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." So I want you to just think about this for a second. What are we called to do? What does the fundamental of prayer look like? Who are we praying to? The Father. Just look. "Ask my Father in my name." Jesus is talking. So we're asking the Father in the name of Jesus. Is it okay if you ask Jesus? Yeah, I think it's okay. All right, I'm not saying you can't, but I'm just saying this is what Jesus said. It's in his name. He says, you won't ask me directly anymore. You're going to ask my Father, who is the giver of good gifts, everything, things. He is the giver of good things. And we're going to ask in the name of the Son. Because all authority in heaven and on earth was given to who? Jesus. And he said, I'm packaging all that up in my name. And you can make whatever request you want of the Father in heaven in my name. But this is why we always pray and then we go, in Jesus' name. This is the word. And it's not just like a nice thing to say. This is the release of all authority and power in heaven on earth. So when our faith is engaged in prayer, it's not just prayer. It's prayer in the name of Jesus. This is what moves that substance you cannot see. It's the name of Jesus is where all the authority is. So we have to understand that we are praying to the Father in the name of the Son. Father, you're my good Father who possesses all the things. You own the cattle on a thousand hill. And your Son has all the power and authority and has given me access to your throne and to you as a person and as a friend, as a father. And I am going to invoke the name of Jesus to get those requests out there, happening, moving. But I have to understand the simplicity of it. Jesus did all the work. He has all the authority, all the powers in his name, and we have to activate that. So our faith is activated in prayer to the Father through the name of the Son right there. What do I pray about? Everything. And what is the other key element in this? He says, "Very truly I say to you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Asking is verbal. And Jesus said, when you pray, say, "My Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," right? He said, when you pray, say, not just think. Are think prayers okay? Yes, think prayers are okay. If you're mute and you can't actually talk, can you still pray? Yep. Okay. But confession matters too. God understands all those limitations, all that stuff. And so if we have the ability to say, don't you think it's important that we do it? I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced you believe that. Does saying prayer make you uncomfortable? So, not until it doesn't. Not until it doesn't. Very few people are just instantly comfortable praying out loud. am I wrong about? I mean, there's a few freaks out there. Some of you are weird and it never affected you. Okay, so great. You're like the one percenters. But the majority of us, we have a little bit of a insecurity and like, whoo, I'm going to say that out loud. Whoo, it's like getting baptized out loud. Oh, I'm going to get dunked in front of humans? They're going to see me and they're going to see you. And it's going to matter because it's public. And when we pray, it makes our faith public and the enemy gets to hear it. All the devils and angels all get to hear, holy smokes, this person's serious. And it gets pushed out. Verbal prayer has power, y'all, okay? This is why expression in worship is powerful too, because when it's visible, word and deed, it's a completion of faith. Every time you and I worship and lift our hands and bow our knees or sing out loud, we are confessing and we are activating and we are completing faith that God, you are the one who exists and my heart belongs to you and I don't care who knows. In fact, I want people to know. Because our confession shakes and moves things when it's founded in faith. And we complete that faith by action, real works. So prayer, confess, verbal, pray, say to the Father in Jesus' name. Now there's really fundamentally kind of two avenues, or you'd say roads of prayer. And one, and I'm not going to do a big deep dive on this, but one is intercession, where I am going to pray for others and their needs, and I'm going to pray for things to happen in the kingdom. It's like a prayer that goes out, all right? Intercession is I am praying on your behalf or on the behalf of things that God wants to accomplish and get done. Does that make sense? Some people think about it like I'm going to intercede or I'm going to stand in the gap for something, someone or something else. That's also exactly right. And then there's impartation. There, we also pray and say to the Father in the name of Jesus for impartation. What's one thing we can ask God to impart to us? Faith. Wisdom. And what's he say about wisdom? How does he give it? Liberally is what James says to how many that ask? All. What? There are promises where God will give you as much as you need or ever want, no matter who you are. Joker, smoker, toker, boom, you're in the group. He'll give it to you. What else? Discernment. That's impartation. Dadgum, do we ever need some of that? Anything else? Everything else. Love. Compassion, which is an expression of love, right? God, just give it to me. How about revelation? I'm reading your word and I feel dumb. Anybody feel that way? You're reading the word and you're like, I kind of feel dumb right now. I mean, I read stuff sometimes and I go, what in the heck? And I just go, okay, Lord, will you just show me, impart to me understanding? Because you seem crazy right now. And then God just goes, boop. Sometimes he'll show me an image or a thing, and I go like, huh? And I grab that little string, and I start to pull on it. I'm like, what? All of a sudden, I'm like, wow. That is amazing. God releases understanding. And understanding releases grace, power. Power to move, which activates faith. Oh, you're so smart here in front row. Or center. It's not really a front row, is it? It's a center, okay. It activates faith. You see how that the body of Christ and the things of God are all an ecosystem. They're all feeding one thing. And this intercession and impartation prayers are to the Father in the name of Jesus, and we say, okay? I don't know about you, but when I say it, something in my heart kind of leaps. It activates. It feels more activated than just when I am thinking. There are times, you know, confession of sin works this way too. You've ever just confessed, you're like, I told the Lord I was sorry like 1,000 times. And then the Lord's like, and you're like, God, why aren't I moving on? It's like, did you go tell, you know, Steve or Dan or Bob or Rachel, did you go tell them, the one that you actually sinned against? With your real words? Like, confession doesn't shift the environment in repentance until it is said. The power is released in the words. I'm sorry. I have shame and guilt about the way I behaved. You know what? That was wrong. That hurt you. And I want to make that right. That's repentance. And when that's confessed, it has a whole different power. And especially then when it's backed up with real action. Lord, will you impart to me the ability to do the thing that I need to fix? And to stop doing the thing that was hurting the person? This is activated prayer and expression through real actions that no longer continue to break people's trust. Because when we repent and confess, you go, hey, words help, but actions seal the deal. This is faith with works. It expresses itself through repentance. It expresses itself through all the things we want to go after and do. Amen? All right, so intercession, impartation. But we need to stick to the fundamentals when we're doing this. And so what are those fundamentals? That's what we're going to hit right now. And we're going to just kind of stay on for the rest of this message. Is that we fundamentally need to understand whose job is who when we address God in prayer. That kind of makes sense, right? Whose job is who? Like, who has what responsibilities in this crazy relationship that God set up? Like, and why in the world did he put us in charge of anything? Sometimes that baffles my mind. But fundamentally, we look at whose job is it to listen and whose job is it to actually manifest the miracle, to do the thing. So these things might seem kind of simple, but I think it's important for us to do this exercise is that we're just going to raising of hands, okay? Whose job is it to listen? Ours or God's? Our job. It's our job to listen, okay? So raise your hand if you believe that's true. It's our job to listen, okay? Whose job is it to do the miracle? Ours or God's? God's. Raise your hand if you believe it's God's job to do the miracle. There we go. That'll work. Good. That's pretty clear. Okay, what are we building with our faith? And if we're building something, what are we building it on? So if we're building something, which I think most of us believe that God has called us to be a part of building something, we're not just moving, and like Corinthians said, we talked about last week, is we're not just aimlessly boxing in the air at nothing. That's not what faith is doing. No, we're running like a runner who's going to win a prize, who's going to accomplish something for real. We're actually building something of real value and substance. And so we have to know what foundation we're building on. And God did this pretty awesome thing. Is he, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, gave us the Word of God. The inspired Word of God, the Bible itself, is the foundation, the Word Jesus, him, he is the living foundation that we're building on. The rock that is Christ. Amen. Which is amazing that we're actually building on Jesus. And John says, Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh. He became Jesus. He expressed himself as a human, and now he goes by the name Jesus, but he is the Word. He is the truth. And the Word is not just known, but it's also spoken. So and it's creative and it shifts and it changes. And the Word was spoken to create the universe. But what we're building on is the Word, is the rock. And so we also fundamentally, we're listening to the Word of God. So when we're praying and we're building and activating our faith, we're listening to the Word. We're not activating things that aren't in the Bible. I mean, it's kind of a big deal. Pastor Jim, am I wrong about this? I mean, you've been a Bible teacher for long enough. Like, I mean, we're building off the word. Like, look, we're not just making up weird stuff and just going out to do it. We're going to build on the fundamental foundation of the rock that is Jesus, the word of God. And if it's not in there, y'all, we're getting off track. Okay. One of the other things that we're foundationally building on and in with is those who are bearing good fruit in the body of Christ. So when I'm listening and I'm going to build on the foundation, I am listening to the word of God, fundamentally reading the Bible. It's in the Bible. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. I don't need to pray about whether I should do that or not anymore. I need to pray about how I do that. How do I express that? Not like, should I love my neighbor? Okay. It's not up for question. It's in the word. Should I tithe? No, it's in the word. Should I sacrifice? Should I serve? No, it's in the word. Should I make disciples? It's in the word. I don't have to pray about whether I should do this. It's about how and when do I do this? Okay, then I also am going to ask, and I'm going to be listening to God's family. And we're going to get here. We're placed into a family, and especially God's family. When I'm listening to the voice of the Lord, I'm listening to God's family around me, especially those who are bearing good fruit. Especially those who are bearing good fruit. I look at their life and I go, ooh, I want to be like that person. That person is expressing things I see in the Word of God, and they've somehow figured that out. I am going to follow that person's example, and when that person starts talking to me about how to apply my faith and listening for what God is saying to me, so I can hear the Word, not just in the written form, but now I'm moving towards, I'm trying to listen to God's voice for myself, which I place third place here, okay? Because when you have the first two really strong, then when you start to hear God's voice, you're going to learn how to hear his voice as you follow people that already know how. Because they're bearing good fruit. And they're not going, you guys know fireworks that do that? You're kind of expecting more because you light it and it's like those whistlers are like this. They go, like, okay. You know? That's not how our Christian life is supposed to be. And some people take off with a bang. They're like, you're like, whoa, that guy's going to be going. Okay, they're not. That's not the person I'm modeling my life after. I'm going to model my life after those that have been bearing fruit for generations or decades, okay? Like, those are the people that we want to watch and go, ooh, that person is not just here, but they're bearing good fruit. And they must know, and they're expressing the things that I see in the Word of God. We have to know the Word. We have to know the people. And then we can really start to learn how to hear God's voice for ourselves. If we subtract the first two and we just listen to the voice of God and try to apply our faith without them, you're going to get weird. You're going to be doing weird stuff. You're going to end up in weird places and situations. And you're like, oh, what am I doing? And I thought I was following God in faith. And you're like, oh, I'm not grounded. I'm not integrated. I'm not grounded in the word. I'm not integrated with his body. And that's why I'm fundamentally struggling. Okay, so the other thing is this. We're not just on some gigantic walkabout. And I wanted to say, and then you need to develop and cultivate hearing God's voice in the midst of that safety. The grounded on the word, surrounded by believers that are bearing good fruit, and then you're really starting to listen on how to hear God's voice. And what might be a good idea for you to ask? What might be a good thing for you to do when you're thinking you're hearing the voice of God? Just activate it and run out and do it without talking to anybody? Without checking in the word to see if it's actually legit? Maybe take it, pump the brakes a little bit. You think God's big enough for you to not have to just activate like ready, fire, aim on the thing you think you hear? Because Corinthians 14 says we hear in part and know in part. Have humility. Engage some humility that God's big enough to allow you to ask a few questions, because Proverbs says wisdom is found in the counsel of who? Many. Not the counsel of Josh. I start consulting myself and all my little parts going on in my own little pea brain, and I'm like, I'm confused. But then I get afraid that I'm going to miss God and be disobedient to him. Now I'm actually really in a difficult place, like one of those little whistlers. Because I'm like, what was that all about? Jesus is building something. We need to be a part of building with him in faith, an activation of prayer with him. And we cannot escape or walk off of or get off of the foundation that is Jesus, that is the word. Otherwise, we're like this thing that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And who's the rock? Jesus. And Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Who wants that birthday? It falls with a great crash, not me. Now, Jesus taught this lesson, and we need to pay attention. And he was talking about himself. And I think we want to see greater, like when he says, you're going to do greater things than I did, I actually think he was talking about multiplication. Not like, I mean, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Like, dude, I haven't done that. Okay? I mean, think about all the miracles he did. Exponentially throughout the body of Christ, the miracles, the impact, the salvations, like greater things than he could have done as an individual. That's what I believe he was saying. Yes, will we do miracles? Yes, will we see these things? But like, listen, y'all, none of us are going to do in the 3 years accomplish this greater than what Jesus did individually. But together, Jesus can build on that if we build on him. But if we build off his foundation, we get nothing. Zero. It's nothing off the foundation of Jesus. There's nothing off the foundation of the living word of God. It doesn't exist, guys. All truth is in him. All the things are built on the two things he said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That Jesus is love. God is love. He is the expression of love. It's all built on him. So when we're building with our faith, we're actually building the house of God. And it has to be on the foundation. I want you to think about this platform right here. This platform right here is the foundation of Jesus, okay? This is the rock. Everything that is known in the Bible is in this little 8x8 square. Yeah. You know, actually, that's possible because you know how many Bibles I could stack in here? I don't know. A lot. I could put a lot of Bibles in here. And all the truth that we need to know to activate our faith is in the one book. That's all we need to know. It's not all there is to know. Because with God, there's way more than that. But that's all we need to know. And that's all we need to know to build. And so this foundation, I want you to imagine your faith is building something on this foundation. Imagine it's a house. I wonder what that house could be. The house of the Lord. Not this physical building, but what does he call that? His house? His church, the people. Good job. The house is the church, the people. That's his temple is now us as a church collectively. That's what he's actually building. So when we take our faith and we're building it off the word of God, we're building on the word, not out here, not off the word. I'm not building a house out here. I'm not on a walkabout, just going around trying to follow the Lord and just do anything in an act of miracle and faith over here. And then I just follow God and he told me to do this and do that. And I just kept chasing and chasing and going and going and going. And then finally I end up in some destination that is like, oh, some place that, oh, I'm right where he wanted me to be. That's not what we're doing. We're building a house. We're actually building within a house and we're adding onto that house. But houses that are not built on good foundations, guess what happened to them? They fall and crash just like Jesus said they would do. So the church is the same way. When you and I are activating our faith, we're not just warring against demons and all these things. We're not doing all that. There is basically no scripture that tells us to pray at demons and stuff. It tells us, yes, there's a spiritual war, resist the enemy, build the church. Spiritual warfare is about impartation and invoking the name of Jesus to stand in the gap and intercede for God to build the church. And we're saying there's real angels and demons. All those forces and powers are out there. But what is he giving us in clear instructions to build the church on? Let's stick to those fundamentals. Yeah. Let's focus on that. So when we take our faith and we put it into application, we have to understand we're building something. And that is the church. And look here. When we look at what Paul did, he traveled all around, didn't he? But what did he build when he traveled around? The church. He went around and built the church. Was he persecuted?
Yes.
Yep. What did Peter do? He went all around. And what did he build? He built the church. These are the founders. These are the foundation. Prayer is the foundation of every healthy church build. It's the foundation. It's a part of everything we construct. We won't build anything of value if we don't invoke the name of Jesus. It'll be our own strength and our own work. The walls of the church go up. The electrical, the plumbing, the roofs, the windows, the doors, all that stuff, the furnishings inside of a healthy church all come through faith, prayer that's activated by faith. And then there's action after that, for sure. We're all going to go to work after that. But nothing of great value will ever happen without prayer activating that very thing. Okay. Faith, prayer is actually faith in kind of its first form of completion and works. So we're called to build on this rock, but I want us to do just a little declaration. Are you guys ready? Because I'm going to read it, and I want you to think about it before you just say it. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So this declaration goes like this. It says, I am a steward in the house of the Lord. You don't have to say it yet. He is the master. I am the steward. I will be a faithful steward in the house of the Lord. Okay, so this declaration is a prayer. And we're going to declare something about who is the master of the house. Because when we're going to build something, it's important that we understand, like, who's in charge. Because Jesus said that, on Peter, I'm going to build my church, okay? And the gates of Hades will not stand against it. Jesus is going to build his church with a steward who was Peter. So who's the master? Who's the church belong to?
Jesus.
Who's the steward?
Us
or Peter? So we need to define this. If you're building the church of Josh, it's going to crash. If you're building the church of Zach, it's going to crash. You're building the church of Karen, it's going to blow up. Lord's going to knock it over, right? You guys following me? We have to understand what church and whose church we're building. Who is the steward? Me. And who is the master? Him. So, I am the steward of the house of the Lord. He is the master. I am a steward. I will be a faithful steward in the house of the Lord. You guys ready to declare this? Okay. So we're going to get our hearts ready. We're going to pray this together. So I'll say it, then you pray it. I'll pray it, you pray it, right? I am a steward in the house of the Lord.
I am a steward in the house of the Lord.
He is the master.
He is the master.
I am a steward.
I am a steward.
I will be a faithful steward.
I will be a faithful steward.
In the house of the Lord.
In the house of the Lord.
In Jesus' name. Come on. Activation. Prayer and faith, we are building something. We are building the body. Romans 12:3 says this, because it is a privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Do not think that you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourself by the faith that God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts and one body. We all belong to each other. When we're building, we're not building alone. We're building within and we're building a body. And we belong to each other. 1 Corinthians 12:18. But our bodies have many parts. God has put each part just where he wants it. Not just anywhere, just where he wants it. 1 Corinthians 12:27. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. He makes the whole body fit together. It's Ephesians 4:16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part, and I'm going to fit this in here, completes its faith by doing its own special work. It helps the other parts, what? Grow. Helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's pretty awesome. Each part helps the other parts grow. This is what we're building. Your faith in action is contributing to the body that is Christ, and the body that is Christ is the church. It's the church. And the church is made up of his people. And each part does its work. So if any of us decides we're going to go off and not listen to the other parts and just do whatever we want, we are now disconnected from the body. And this is an interesting thing that happens. You know, when people's neurological systems disconnect, it's actually a syndrome called disconnection syndrome. I think I've had this where my brain is disconnected from being smart, right? My brain is just totally disconnected from like smart thinking. This neurological separation creates all kinds of turmoil and problems in your physical body. Your hands can't move. They start doing weird things, and all kinds of difficulties emerge when a part is now severed or no longer connected to the other parts. And God did not design us for this type of life. Our faith is actually building something. It's building on the platform. It's building the church on the foundation of the word, in prayer, in faith, in love, all these things. We cannot violate one thing on the foundation of the word in order to do a thing we think God is telling us. Are you guys, let me just break that down for a second. Faith is built on the word, and it will never violate the body. This is really important for us to get. So like, if I think God's telling me to go do a thing, but I have to dishonor my body to do it, oh no. I have to dishonor my parents, my family, my leaders to do it, no. That can't be the Lord. Because the Lord says we're called to honor everybody, and especially our parents, right? I cannot violate the law of unity in order to do the thing I think God's telling me to do. I can't disconnect from the body. I can't have a disconnection syndrome from the body in order to do the thing I think God's telling me to do. Nope, I'm built on the word. I'm first going to allow people of good fruit in the body of Christ to help me filter what I think God is saying to me. I've had people come to me and they brought to me a scripture in the Bible and said, hey, I'm going to go split this church that I was supposed to be a steward in to help take care of. They brought me in as an interim. This is another guy. Interim pastor came into this church and he's like, I was brought in to just kind of take care of, but I don't believe the same things they believe. I believe about the Holy Spirit, and I believe about all this rah-rah. I'm like, okay, that's cool. But they brought you in to be a steward. He goes, yep, but then I got a word. He pulls out the Old Testament thing, and he finds this thing, and he uses this kind of garden passage or whatever to justify dividing this church. I'm like, time out. You can't violate the law of love and unity and authority so you can do the thing you think God told you to do. I'm telling you right now, time out, not a word from God. I could not get this individual to stop that split of church. Couldn't make it. I couldn't fix it. Because they just decided, before they listen to the counsel of others, listen to the counsel of the Word of God, they're just going to do whatever thing that pops in their head that they think is Jesus. Y'all, we're crazy, okay? Can we just accept that in our brains a bunch of crazy stuff goes on? And then sometimes we think that some of that crazy parts are actually gone, and we get really off track and weird. Get rooted. We're building something. We're building the body. And the body, God will never tell you to violate your own body so that you can do a thing for Him. Instantly, you know that's not the Lord. But if you don't know the Word and you don't have people around you to help you understand that, that are producing good fruit, y'all, we're not going to really learn it. We're not going to get it. But God wants to activate our faith, but He wants us to not be just running aimlessly all around and wasting so much energy. You cannot violate the law of love in order to accomplish the will of God. You cannot violate the law of cover and protection by gossip and slander and backbiting and bitterness. And you cannot, we cannot do these things. They violate the body in order to do the thing we think God told us to do. Well, I'm trying to protect and cover everybody, and that's why I'm going to go run this leader under the bus. No. I can't violate the law of wisdom because I think I had some sort of word from the Lord. Faith is built on Jesus, the Word, the rock, the foundation of the body. The church will never harm itself. It always builds itself up to make it grow and become healthy. All parts are growing and becoming healthy. That's what we saw. So whose job is it to listen? Whose job is it to ask? Ours. Whose job is it to listen? Ours. Who do we listen to? Only me? Only what I think is going on in my head? Only the way I think I interpret the Word? Or am I part of a body? I'm placed in it. I'm fit in it into a specific place. And God wants to speak and to me through others. Then I go into faith and action. And then I go into belief and declaration. And then it's my job to follow up with those things. And whose job is it to make the completion, to bring it to the finish line and do the miracle after I've done all my faith steps? It's God's job, isn't it? It's His job to finish the work. So we got to keep our jobs and His in His. Amen? We're going to activate some things here in prayer as we close. And so will you stand with me real quick? What are the things that God's placing on your heart, your life, you believe God is asking you to believe Him for as we launch into this year? What does that look like for you? We're just going to take a minute, and I want you to maybe just grab one, two, three people around you. We're going to do two things. If the prayer team can come to all four corners, to four corners of our inner world here, and then we can bring the prayer team in. That would be great. And then if you have, and you want to pray with somebody individually, you can come right down here. But I want to encourage you to get with somebody that's standing around you, one or two, three people, and then tell them, this is what I'm believing God for. We're just going to take a moment while the worship team goes, and you're going to pray together and declare those things that you believe God is wanting to activate. He's wanting you to activate. And I want you to tell them and then pray it. We don't have to take a ton of time. We just want to take a little bit of time. Okay, so.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this message, please connect with us at unitechurchak.org. We hope to see you soon.